to speak more Krishna Katha by glorifying the process of hearing. Katayasva Mahabhaga Yataham Akhilatmani Krishne Niveshanasangam Manastyakshe Kalevaram. So here he says that please speak Krishna Katha in such a way that my at the time of leaving this body my mind becomes absorbed in Krishna. So this is the purpose. This was the instruction of Brahmaji to Narada Muni. Nranam Bhaktir Bhavishyati Sarvatmanyakiladare Iti Sankalpya Varanaya. Narada Muni, Brahmaji told Narada Muni that speak this Bhagavatam in such a way that it inspires devotion to Lord Hari within the heart. And eventually when Vidura would speak with Maitreya, Vidura would mention the same thing. Speak anything, but that should conclude in Krishna Katha. So, Bhagavatam is conclusively Krishna Katha. It's not that every syllable is literally glorifying the Lord, but every syllable is meant to eventually culminate in glorification of Krishna. Every step that you are taking towards Goshala is, the Goshala is not already there. But still it's taking you towards Goshala. So the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is to eventually glorify Bhagavan, Bhakti and Bhakta. Even though there may be descriptions of Ashtanga Yoga, Jnana Yoga and many such processes, even demigod worship. Through Bhagavatam, anyone who studies about demigod worship or Ashtanga Yoga or Jnana Yoga is guaranteed that he will not become an Ashtanga Yogi or a Jnana Yogi or a Karma Yogi. Because Bhagavatam knows that with what purpose it is describing it. So therefore conclusively it is, these descriptions are meant to attract those people who have such inclinations towards the path of pure devotional service only. So even those people who would have learnt about Ashtanga Yoga through Bhagavatam would eventually become pure devotees only. They would not take to any other practice. So that's what is the nature of Bhagavatam, is that it is conclusively pure devotional. So that is the meaning of Dharma Prajjita Kaita Votra Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam. It kicks out all kinds of false religion in essence, not in content. In content it talks about other processes also, but after speaking in conclusion it kicks out. The ultimate recommendation of Kapila Dev is not Ashtanga Yoga or Jnana Yoga or any other place where such things are described. The ultimate conclusion is Bhakti Yoga only. But if there is no description of these paths, then people who have an inclination or Shraddha for those paths will not approach Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, every single speaker is asking, every single hearer is petitioning to the speaker to speak Katha in such a way that conclusively it leads in. Like for example, even if one may see in a materialistic movie also, at least 20-30% of the movie probably shows about the villain or the comedian, or it's not like all 100% of the screen time is occupied by the hero and heroine only. But in conclusion, it eventually leads to the appreciation of hero and heroine. That's the director's purpose, is to eventually bring the audience to the focus of the the story of the hero and heroine, how they happily lived ever after. That's where he wants to bring the focus of the audience to, but that does not mean 100% of the screen time is completely occupied by the hero and heroine only. But the other components are arranged in such a way that it actually enhances the people who have the perfect appreciation when the hero and heroine actually enter the scene. So the same way, Bhagavatam also talks about these various other things, but to bring, so these Ashtanga Yoga and Jnana Yoga also shine focused light on bhakti. So the purpose of these descriptions, so the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam is it uses all these other paths to shine light on bhakti. So who is holding the light? A Jnana Yogi is holding the light. An Ashtanga Yogi is holding the light to glorify Bhagavan, Bhakti and Bhakta. So one should understand this purpose. So therefore, by these descriptions, the nature of Bhagavatam as being Dharma Projita Kaitava Dharma, Pra Ujjita Kaitava Dharma, is not in least compromised by such descriptions. Because the speakers themselves, the hearers are petitioning to the speakers to hear about that katha which would conclude in developing an appreciation and absorption in Krishna. That does not mean every single word is actually speaking about Krishna. But every single word is meant to glorify Krishna. So in that sense, not every verse is literally speaking about Bhakti Yoga or Bhagavan or Bhakta. But in toto, after reading that whole section, one cannot but help develop appreciation for these three subject matters. Devotional service, devotee and the Supreme Lord, the object of devotion. So that's what here Parikshit Maharaj is also requesting Shukadeva Goswami, that speak in such a way that it concludes it at the end of 7 days, when I am ready to leave my body, my mind should be completely absorbed in Krishna. This is the petition. So so Shukadeva Goswami knows what is the order placed by Parikshit Maharaj. So the subsequent descriptions are perfectly catering to that order or request put forth by Parikshit Maharaj. One should not have doubt. Even though we may be wondering why such descriptions are there in Srimad Bhagavatam, the kind of questions that Parikshit Maharaj is going to ask right now may actually contradict the original question, may seem to contradict the original question that he has asked to Parikshit Maharaj. But the acharyas shine a very interesting light on the questions that he is going to ask now. So, subsequently, Parikshit Maharaj glorified the path of the process of hearing. Shrinmata Shraddaya Nityam Grinatascha Svacheshtitam Kalena Nati Dirgena Bhagavan Vishate Hridi. How the Lord enters the heart through the ear holes. Pravishta Karna Randrena Swanam Bhavasaroruham Dhunoti Shamalam Krishna Salilasya Yatasharat. He enters the heart through the ear holes and cleanses the heart completely. Then the Lord sits there. Dhautatma Purusha Krishna Padamoolam Namunchati Mukta Sarva Pariklesha Pantaha Swasharanam Yata. So Prabhupada beautifully explains in his purport that just like a family man, the head of a family, even though he is going through a lot of troubles in his profession, but at the end of it, when he thinks of his affectionate family tie, he forgets all those sufferings and he gets the ability to tolerate. Similarly, Prabhupada says the pure devotee of the Lord is in a family tie with Krishna. So therefore, he is undeterred in discharging his duties for Krishna's pleasure. So this is where we ended yesterday. So before we start today's discussion, if there are any comments, discussions, 1 or 2 minutes we can take. Can you pass the mic to Premarinam?
Subject matter. As you rightly mentioned that every word in the Bhagavatam is meant to take a hearer to the Bhakti Bhagwan and Bhaktas. And sometimes we hear the glorification of Bhagavatam that each word of the Bhagavatam is like Krishna himself. Mm. Or is. So
this is the mode in which we have to understand that. Otherwise, then how will we reconcile, the descriptions of these other paths which are not necessarily directly glorifying Krishna. So, when one develops a relationship, a very deep relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though he may be in Mumbai, but if he has developed a deep affection for Krishna of Vrindavan, even looking at the golden temple mail will, it will create such emotions in him. It's just a train, but boarding that train will take him to Mathura. So even, looking at that train will evoke such emotions. So similarly, every single step, even though the Goshala is not reached, but that we know that the devotee knows that these steps are leading me to Goshala. So similarly, the speakers of Srimad Bhagavatam, they know that by describing this, he knows the route, that how eventually the destination is Krishna, Bhagavan, Bhakta and Bhakti only. But they may take different routes to come there, to take all the people on that route towards Krishna. Someone may be standing on the Ashtanga areas, someone may be on the Jnana areas. So the devotees will go there with their mridanga and kartal and sing and then bring them to the lotus feet of Krishna. So that's what Bhagavatam also does. So only in that sense we have to understand all these descriptions. And it's not a mental adjustment that we have been requested to do. But actually if you look at these sections and scrutinizingly look at them, there is no ultimate glorification of any other path other than bhakti. And there is no ultimate glorification of any other feature of the Lord other than Bhagavan. And there is no ultimate glorification of any other practitioner other than a pure devotee. Even though in between the process may have been described, but in conclusion, Shukadeva Goswami mentioned about the two kinds of liberations and all that, and then concluded with by telling that Bhagavan Brahma Katsnena Triran Viksha Manishaya Tadadyavasyat Kutastho Ratir Atman Yato Bhavet. He says that all these parts I have described, but the Lord Himself three times reviewed the Vedas and came to the conclusion that that sadhana which leads to prema is the best sadhana, and prema is the topmost prayojan. This was the conclusion after describing the two parts of liberation by Ashtanga Yoga by Shukadeva Goswami. This is the conclusion that Shukadeva Goswami came to. So ultimately the Ashtanga Yogi, after hearing this whole thing, when he reads that conclusion, then definitely he will feel inspired to accept that conclusion only.
Yesterday we were telling that when we hear, actually Lord will take, Bhagavan will take over Paramatma, and Paramatma doesn't purify the heart.
No, the Lord in His Bhagavan feature directly purifies. Yeah.
Like in Dhruma, somewhere Dhruma section, like Lord smelling the desire of... Lord understanding the desire of, in the heart, understanding the desire of Dhruva Maharaj and North Moon, like that.
See that, so whenever the Shastra speak about Lord in the heart, it is not generally necessary that it refers to the Paramatma. And Dhruva Maharaj is a special case of Kripa Siddha. So, the case of Dhruva Maharaj cannot be taken to establish the process of sadhana bhakti. There is a different purpose, there is a different lesson that comes out of the life of Dhruva Maharaj, one of which being his determination in his practice. But nevertheless, in conclusion, if you see, Dhruva Maharaj is described by Srila Rupa Goswami to be a Kripa Siddha only.
The story is concluded in pure devotion service, but I just wanted to know whether this, like this, before Bharat Maharaj's father, Rishabdev, then Nabhi, so before his Agnidra, story comes that he gets desire and Brahmaji fulfills, and after that, there is no conclusion of this part. So, what is the why it is told?
I have to. I don't exactly recollect how that episode ends, but we could go over it, and then we will see, you know, how it concludes in bhakti.
Okay.
So we will now start after glorifying the process of hearing. Now Parikshit Maharaj is going to establish. He is going to ask questions. And it is many of these questions, if you see, we will be wondering what relevance does a pure devotee has in hearing these questions, or in hearing the answer to these questions. How is it relevant for pure devotees? So before we start seeing the questions, I just want to read a few lines from Srila Vishnachakra Thakur's comment to these questions. So, Srila Vishnachakra Thakur writes, having expressed this enthusiasm for hearing about Krishna, which is the first anga of pure bhakti that Parikshit Maharaj cherishes, Shravanam, Parikshit inquires about subjects to the extent that they may contribute to the accomplishments of the goals of pure and mixed bhakti. So, Parikshit Maharaj is thinking, whoever may be there who is inclined to perform Shuddha Bhakti or maybe even mixed devotional service, he must do it with the right understanding. Because if it is performed with proper sambandha jnana, one can avoid offenses. If it is not done with proper sambandha jnana, it could lead to offenses. For example, in chanting the holy names, if one is chanting without knowing what the 10 offenses are, then he will be chanting offensively. And one may hear about the offenses, but if one has not sufficiently heard about the glories of the holy name, then he will not be inspired to avoid the offenses, even though he may know what offenses are. So therefore, a proper sambandha jnana, hearing the proper sambandha jnana is necessary to avoid offenses, to know the offenses and to get the impetus to avoid the offenses. For both of this, one needs to know, one needs to properly equip oneself with the proper sambandha jnana and also prayojana jnana. Only then one will get the proper impetus to perform one's abhideya without any offenses. So Parikshit Maharaj thought, not everyone is a pure devotee who is sitting here, but every practitioner sitting here has that element of bhakti. So let me ask questions in such a way that all these practitioners know their sambandha and prayojana jnana properly, so that they will be inspired to perform their abhideya, which may be pure bhakti or mixed bhakti, without offenses. Because if it is performed with offenses, then Bhakti Devi will not be pleased and they will not get their goals. All their efforts will become spoiled. So Parikshit Maharaj, with this deep concern and compassion for all the people sitting there, he asks questions which may be sometimes relevant to Karma Mishra Bhaktas, maybe sometimes relevant to Jnana Mishra Bhaktas, maybe sometimes relevant to Ashtanga Yogis, and sometimes they may be relevant to pure devotees also. So these questions continue till the end of the chapter. Wherever even a trace of bhakti appears, it should be established without aparad. Otherwise, Bhakti Devi will not show mercy. This is the mode of Parikshit Maharaj when he is asking. It is shown here that one should desire to know about examples and more examples of bhakti performed by pure devotees who are fixed in and cherish hearing and chanting about the sweetness of the Lord for the purpose of producing prema. So that's what he is going to, that's the mood of Parikshit Maharaj, that he wants every single person who has even little inclination for bhakti, his goal may not be Shuddha Bhakti, but he should perform that practice without any aparad. And for that he needs to know, he needs to get proper sambandha jnana and prayojana jnana about what he is practicing. So with that mode, Parikshit Maharaj is now going to ask many questions. And Srila Vishwanathacharya Thakur, at the end of each question, he says that this question is relevant for whom? The answer to this question is relevant for whom? Okay. So, first question asked by Parikshit Maharaj. Yada dhatu mato brahman deharambhosya dhatu bihi yadrichaya hetu nava bhavanto janate yata. O brahmana, please explain asya adhatu mato deha. So he says that this living entities is not made of the dhatus. Dhatus means material elements. Living entity is adhatu matah. He is not made of matter, but his deha, his body is dhatu bihi. It is made of matter. How did this relationship between the jiva, who is not made of matter, and the body, which is only made of matter, how did this relationship happen? Yadrichaya hetunava. Did it happen by chance? Or hetuna, is there a hetu? Is there a cause behind this? Bhavanto janate yata.
you know the answer for this, you understand this subject matter. So can you please explain, is there a cause behind the relationship getting established between body and soul, the material body and the spirit soul, or did it happen by chance? Kindly explain. This is the question that he is asking first. So, starting from this verse onwards, the next 5 verses, 7 to 11, that Parikshit Maharaj is going to ask, basically he wants to know, what is the difference between the body of the Lord and the body of the living entity? Because till now he has heard about the Karanodaka Sai Vishnu, from whose body all these universes are emanating. He has heard about Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, from whose navel a lotus is sprouting. He has heard about the Virat Purusha. So basically, Parikshit Maharaj wants to know what exactly is the difference between the body of these gigantic personalities and the body of an ant, the body of a human being, the body of an elephant. Is the difference between the body of an ant and the body of an elephant, is there a similar difference between the body of a human being and the body of the Supreme Lord? Is it just the size that varies? In constitution, is it the same? And a human being receives a body based on his karma. Does the Supreme Lord also receive his body based on his karma? These are the various questions that are not there in the mind of Parikshit Maharaj. These are the various questions for which he wants Shukadeva Goswami to answer, so that the other practitioners properly get their Sambandha Gyan right. So with that mood he is asking these questions. So now 7 to 11, the same purpose of wanting to know what is the basic difference. Is size the only difference between the body of the Supreme Lord and the living entities, or constitutionally is there some difference? That's what Parikshit Maharaj wants to know.
Here you are saying that he wants to know other people too about Sambandha Jnana.
Yeah.
So our understanding about Sambandha Jnana is that relationship between Jiva and Lord. So what?
And also the nature of the Supreme Lord. Why we should have Sambandha also? If he is another human being only, if he is another living entity only, controlled by karma, so to understand the nature of the Supreme Lord is also Sambandha Jnana. So to know the nature of the Lord, the nature of the living entity, and the nature of the relationship, all three constitute Sambandha Jnana. And then what you gain by that relationship is the prayojan. So, Srila Prabhupada writes, why Parikshit Maharaj was asking these questions? Parikshit Maharaj is not just satisfied to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from a bona fide guru. He is very anxious to establish the philosophical basis of Srimad Bhagavatam. He does not want people to think that Srimad Bhagavatam is just a bunch of stories for sentimental people. He wants to establish the philosophical basis of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the science of Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all such inquiries that arise in the mind of a serious student must be answered in Srimad Bhagavatam. In the process of devotional service, the first step is to take the shelter of a spiritual master and inquire. Adav Guru Padashraya Krishna Dikshadi Sikshanam Vishrambena Guror Seva Sadharma Pritcha. So one has to inquire about what is real religion and how does one follow it. It has to be asked, you know, it has to be inquired by the sincere student. So that one may not commit any offenses. Spiritual master must also be well versed to answer these questions. Otherwise he should not become a spiritual master. So this is what Srila Prabhupada is writing. A student must ask and a spiritual master should know the answer for these questions. Otherwise he should not become a spiritual master. ఆసీద్యద్దుదరాత్ పద్మం లోక సంస్థాన లక్షణం యావానయం వై పురుష యత్తావయవై పృథక్ తావానసావితి ప్రోక్త సంస్థావయవయవాన్ ఇవ. ద పురుష ఫ్రమ్ హూస్ బెల్లి ఎ లోటస్ అపియర్స్. విచ్ పురుష? గర్భోదక సాయి విష్ణు. ద పురుష ఫ్రమ్ హూస్ బెల్లి ద లోటస్ అపియర్స్ హ్యాస్ బీన్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ అస్ హ్యావింగ్ ప్లానెట్స్ యాజ్ హిస్ లింబ్స్. రైట్? హిస్ ఎక్స్పాన్షన్ ఇస్ ఓన్లీ స ఏవ పురుషస్ తస్మాత్ అండం నిర్భిద్య నిర్గత సహస్రోర్ వక్ష బాహ్వక్ష సహస్రానన శీర్షవాన్. స ఏవ పురుష, దట్ వాస్ మెన్షన్డ్, దట్ వెరీ సేమ్ పురుష ఎంటర్స్ దిస్ యూనివర్స్ అండ్ మేనిఫెస్ట్ దిస్ యూనివర్స్ ఇన్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ 1000 ఆర్మ్స్ అండ్ 1000 హెడ్స్ అండ్ సో ఆన్. సో పరీక్షిత్ మహారాజ్ ఆస్కింగ్ ది సేమ్ క్వశ్చన్, ఓ యూ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ అబౌట్ దట్ పురుష ఫ్రమ్ హూస్ నేవల్ దట్ లోటస్ కమ్స్. యూ మెన్షన్డ్ దట్ దిస్ పురుష హ్యాస్ వేరియస్ ప్లానెట్స్ constitute his bodily limbs. But he also seems to have limbs which are very similar to our limbs. You said hands, you said feet, you said head, you said eyes, ears, all of which human beings also have. So basically he wants to know that it has been explained that the Lord has a body similar to that of the Jiva. How then is the Lord different from the Jiva? That's what he wants to know. Is it just the size that is different? So, Srila Prabhupada very nicely paraphrases the question asked by Parikshit Maharaj. He's paraphrasing it in such a way that we can very clearly understand what Parikshit Maharaj wants to know. So, Prabhupada writes, an elephant gets a gigantic body according to its needs. And so also an ant gets a very tiny body according to the ant's needs. Similarly, if the Supreme Lord assumes a gigantic body to accommodate the universes, there is no difference in the principle of assuming or accepting a body in terms of necessity. But Parikshit Maharaj wants to get this out of the mouth of Shivadeva Goswami. Is his accepting a body, gigantic body, based on the same principle based on which an elephant gets its body and an ant gets its body, based on its needs and according to its karma? That's what Parikshit Maharaj wants to get out of the mouth of Shivadeva Goswami. He knows. So is the Lord and the Jiva distinguished simply by the difference of the magnitude of the body, or is there something more constitutionally different? That's what Parikshit Maharaj wants to know. Can you pass the mic to Baldev?
You are describing so nicely. Just a thought, I don't know whether it's in the right direction. The first canto we studied, not much philosophy in terms of this creation and the greatness of the Lord, much more devotionally, kind of, you know, Pandavas and the Parikshit Maharaj and all that. And now when the creation is starting, this subject, now you're saying that Parikshit Maharaj knows the answer, but he's asking. Sometimes happens in a program, you know, you go and then there are different kinds of audience, just to keep everyone on the same page. If no one is asking, a senior devotee asks question on their behalf, you know, keep them, because you know the subject matter has to go in the right direction. Correct. Should all be with me for next 7 days. If they are not with me, then they will not be interested. So I just thought like that. I am not sure.
Yeah, correct.
You don't understand the heart of Parikshit Maharaj.
No, that's how it is explained. That's how we saw in this Vishnu Jagadakur's explanation, that whoever it may be, there may be some Mishra Bhaktas sitting, there may be some pure devotees, but if there is an element of bhakti in their practice, then they should know properly their sambandha gyan and prayojana gyan, so that in their practice they do not commit any offenses. Because if offenses are there, then Bhakti Devi will not be pleased and she will not bestow her mercy. So therefore, he is asking these questions so that even you may be wanting to practice Karma Mishra Bhakti, but at least know your sambandha gyan properly.
In fact, I remember once I asked Anand Vanpu this question. You ask the same question again and again, not just Radhanath Maharaj, but everyone who comes. What is the reason? He said two things. One is that, you know, I ask the same question because I want the audience to really know the answer. This is the most important thing. Death is going to come at any time, you know. We should be serious. That's one thing. And second, I also want to know the same questions answered by different devotees so that I become more intense in my search.
Mm.
Twofold. So you want, the main question has to be asked again and again so everyone becomes serious. And second is, I want to know more about that question.
So once His Holiness Rompath Swami Maharaj was here during the GBC meetings, and he was speaking on this question asked by Vidura to Maitreya. First question that he asks is, Sukaya karmani karoti loko natai sukam manyat uparamamva vindeta bhuyat tatayeva dukkam yadatra yuktam bhagavan vadennaha. He asks that, my dear Lord, people of this world perform activities for two reasons: to enhance their happiness and to mitigate their suffering. They endeavor very hard to perform this, but in the end they get exactly the opposite. Their suffering increases and happiness decreases, but still they go on endeavoring to do this. Why do they do it and what gives them the impetus? Can you please explain? So Maharaj was explaining, doesn't Vidura know the answer for this question? He is a personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a close devotee. Lord personally came to his house. So why is Vidura asking such a question? Is it just for others? Because in the conversation only the two of them were there. So Maharaj gave a very beautiful insight. He said, when such exalted devotees ask such seemingly simple questions, it's not that they don't know the answer for this question, but they want to experience the strength of realization that is coming from another exalted devotee. We know theoretically, but when it comes from a realized person, when this realization touches us, then it gives us more conviction. It gives us more conviction to practice that path. So, yeah, correct. Yeah. So, same thing. So, it was like a revelation, you know, because we always had this question. Doesn't Vidura know the answer for this question? Even we know the answer. We could have told Vidura. So, why is he bothering Maitreya with such questions? He should have asked about some more esoteric topics. So, but Maharaj is explaining that, you know, such exalted devotees also ask such questions because they want to experience the realizations. So, because realizations really leave a very deep impact in our hearts, and it increases our own conviction. So, for such reasons, you know, these questions are asked. So, then he continues, Ajasrajati bhutani bhutatma yadanugrahat dadrisheyena tadrupam nabi padmas samudbhavah. Yadanugrahat, by the mercy of the Lord, Ajaha, Brahmaji, Bhutatma, who is the controller of all the living entities in this material world, Nabipadmat Samudbhavaha. So, he is, Shukadeva Goswami had only told him that Brahma, how Brahmaji came out of the navel of Garbhagriha Sai Vishnu. Parikshit Maharaj need not repeat it again. Already Shukadeva Goswami knows. But hidden in this word, in this sentence, is a question which the acharyas have to unfold or decode for us, because the words themselves do not indicate the mood of the speaker. Like, for example, you know, like someone may ask, Prabhuji, aapne prasad le liya na? Have you taken prasad?
it's out of concern. Either baat baat kya hai, abhi aaye, and just 5 minutes back I saw that you are coming, but now you are already sitting in the class. Have you taken prasadam or not? That is, you know, concern. Another. Prasad le liya na? Same statement, but the mood is the, you know, prasad le liya na? To seva kyun nahi chal raha hai? You know, that is sarcasm there. Instead of asking seva kyun nahi chal raha hai, that is the actual question. But what comes out of the mouth? Prasad liya na? So the person who is hearing also knows that iska aur prasad ka kuch sambandh nahi hai. He is asking why the job is not done. So the words unfortunately do not necessarily communicate the mood. So therefore, when there is a conversation that is happening between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, sometimes Suta Goswami intervenes and says, oh, Sukadeva Goswami was very pleased hearing this question and he was very eager to answer this question. And sometimes when Parikshit Maharaj asked that what kind of, in 10th canto he asked Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami, that what kind of austerities Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj must have performed that they got to see such wonderful childhood pastimes of Krishna. Then Sukadeva Goswami starts answering that how previously they were Drona and Dhara, like that. But immediately the acharyas explain that Sukadeva Goswami was extremely angry hearing this question from Parikshit Maharaj. It's not at all evident here. Question pucha, uska answer de rahe. Usme gussa kidhar se aa gaya? So the acharyas explain, having heard for so long, Parikshit Maharaj should have known that such kind of relationship with Krishna is not possible by practicing any sadhana. He should have known that this kind of pure devotion is only possible for Nityasiddhas. So how could Parikshit Maharaj ask such a question? So thinking about this, Sukadeva Goswami became very angry. Okay? And then he said, okay, if you ask this type of question, then I will also give that type of an answer only. So he speaks about how Drona and Dara performed austerities and how eventually they became. The actual fact is that Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda were Nityasiddha devotees. And Drona and Dara were sadhakas who are trying to achieve perfection. So when the Baumalila happens, the sadhakas Drona and Dara get an opportunity to get trained. And how do they get trained? They enter the bodies of Nityasiddhas and they get trained that way. So Drona and Dara entered the Nityasiddha bodies of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and they got trained. And after the Baumalila is wound up, they go back to Goloka Vrindavan and they get different. They don't become Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. They get different bodies, but with Vatsalya Bhav. They get an opportunity to every once in a while show that Vatsalya towards Krishna. But Nanda and Yashoda, there is only one. No sadhaka can become Nanda and Yashoda. No sadhaka can become Radharani. No sadhaka can become Subal, Sridham, etc. Those are all there. But to the extent that one sadhaka may want to show his Sakya Bhav or Vatsalya Bhav, ample opportunity will be given. But not in the form of Subal, Sridhama, Radharani, Lalita, Vishaka or Nanda Maharaj or Mother Yashoda. Not in that way. That's the thing. So here it is, that's what is mentioned here, that even though it is not explicit, there is a question hidden here that Parikshit Maharaj wants to ask. What he wants to ask is, here he is mentioning, oh, from this Purusha, Brahmaji came from his navel. This seems like a very simple statement. But what exactly is behind that statement is, from human beings come out. From animals, a dog gives birth to a puppy. A cat gives birth to a kitten. Human beings give birth to human babies. Now, Brahmaji came out of the navel of Garbhadaksaya Vishnu. And Brahmaji, we know, is a living entity. Jivatma. So, Garbhadaksaya Vishnu must also be a Jivatma only. No? That is what is hidden in the statement. But it's not so explicit. So therefore the acharyas are decoding it for us. The Prabhupada also writes here, since Brahma came from this body of the Lord, is the form of the Lord similar to that of the material body of Brahma? That's what Parikshit Maharaj wants to know. Sachapi yatra purusho vishvastityudbhavapyayah muktvatma mayam mayesha shete sarvaguhashayah. And then he says, and also you spoke about that Purusha who is the creator, maintainer and destroyer of this universe, Vishvastiti Udbhava Apyayah. Which Purusha is this? Karnatakasai Vishnu. Mayesha, the Lord of Maya. And Sarvaguhashayah. And he in his expansion of Sri Rabagasai Vishnu is also dwelling within all beings. So he says that he is lying there untouched by Maya. This also seems like a statement that what is hidden here is that these Purushas also seem to have activities which are similar to human being. When we become tired, we lie down and take some rest. The Supreme Lord also seems to lie down and take some rest. So the activities also seem to be same. So what is the difference between the nature of the Supreme Lord's body and the regular living entity's body? Purushavaya vairlokaha sapala purva kalpitaha lokairamashya vayavaha sapalairiti shushruma. Then he says that then what about this Virat Purusha? You explained that this Virat Purusha, that Purusha has one imagines the planets to be the limbs of this Purusha. Is there more details to this? Can you please explain what is this Virat Purusha? So, like this, he asks about the nature of body of Garbhodakasai Vishnu, Shirodakasai Vishnu, Karanodakasai Vishnu, Virat Purusha. What is the nature of their body? Are they similar? Do they get a body according to their karma? And is their body also material like the bodies of all the other living entities? So, all this... So, here Shila... Vishnu Chakravarti says that these questions 7 to 11 asking to establish the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's body, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti says that this is especially meant for those in Shanta Bhakti or Dasya Bhakti, which means basically it is meant for pure devotees. So that's what he is indicating here. Then he says, Yavan kalpo vikalpo va yata kalo numiyate bhuta bhavya bhavat shabda ayur manam cha yat sataha. Yavan kalpo vikalpo va, please speak of the kalpas
and their subdivisions. Kalpas means day of Brahma, and it also has subdivisions in terms of every day of Brahma is divided into 14 manos, and it is further divided, every mano is further divided into 71 chaturyugas and so on. Yata kalo anumiyate, how is time perceived? All these are described in the third canto 11th chapter. Speaks about time and its divisions. Bhuta bhavya bhavat shabda, how is time perceived in the past, present and future? Is it perceived in the same way that it is in Kali Yuga? Is time perceived the same way as it is perceived in Satya Yuga, Dwapar Yuga? Ayur manam, and how about the lifespans of living entities in these various yugas? What about the lifespans of the human beings, devatas, pitrus, all of them? All this is described in the earlier sections of third canto. Then he continues. Kalasyanugatiryato lakshatenvi brihatyapi yavatya karma gatayo yadrishir vijasattama. O Brahmana, kalasya anugati, please speak about the progress of time with large and small divisions. This is also 3.11, this is described. And the number and types of destinations which are achieved by karma. So what person by performing what activity leads to which destination. This is also described in fifth canto, this is described in third canto. So here Srila Vishnu Jagadish Thakur mentions that these two questions about time and karma are suitable for pure devotees in order to become indifferent to all types of karma. Because bhakti should be jnana karma dhyanavrita bhakti. To understand that abrahma bhavanal lokan punaravartino Arjuna, whatever karma you may perform, it may ultimately take you till Brahmaloka, Satyaloka, but ultimately one has to come back. So, therefore, when one understands the nature of these activities of karma, then one gets inspiration, one gets detached. Later in that canto also, Mother Devahuti, after hearing about bhakti and convinced that I want to practice bhakti, still she asks three things. Two things. She says that speak about karma and speak about time. And then she says, please speak further about the glories of bhakti. How it should be practiced, how it should not be practiced. These three questions she has. Bhakti we can understand because she is convinced that she wants to practice bhakti. But why is she asking about kala and karma? What relevance does knowing about time and karma have in the life of a devotee? And Kapiladeva also, hearing this question, does not answer it in one or two verses and finish it off. He answers it in detail in 2-3 chapters. He speaks about time and karma. 3 chapters are dedicated. What relevance has a devotee in knowing about the nature of time and karma? So the acharyas explained that she wanted to know about time so that her practice of bhakti can be with a sense of urgency. As Baldev Prabhu was sharing about Anand Vrindavan Prabhu. People should know that death can come at any time. So that they can perform bhakti with a sense of urgency. I may not have sufficient time. I need to become more serious. Death can come any time. So a pure devotee wants to know about the nature of time, the all-devouring nature of time, the relentless nature of time,
so that he can practice his bhakti with a sense of urgency. And a pure devotee may want to know about the nature of karma so that at no point he will get attached to things of this material world. He can practice his bhakti with a sense of detachment. So one of the 10 offenses is to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. So when one hears about the futility of maintaining material attachments by hearing about these various destinations, temporary destinations that one achieves by performing these various activities, karma, so then one develops that necessary detachment from things of this material world. So for that reason, also one wants to hear about karma. Yasmin karma samavayo yata yeno pagrihyate gunanam guninam chaiva parinamam abhipsatam. Please speak about the bodies desired by the jivas. In which topic you should explain which jiva by which actions receives various results. This also in detail described in the early parts of third canto, and later Kapiladeva's section also speaks in detail about this. Fifth canto especially focuses on the hellish planets, you know, how different kinds of inappropriate activities lead you to which hellish planet, like that. So here Srila Vishwanatha Chakrabarti Thakur mentions that this question is suitable for karma mishra, jnana mishra, yoga mishra and pure bhakti. All of them. By understanding these subject matters, all of them get benefited. Bhupatalaka kavyoma graha nakshatra bhubritam sarit samudra dvipanam sambhavas chaitadokasam. Please speak about the creation of earth, patal loka, the directions, the sky, the planets, constellations, mountains, rivers, oceans and islands, the creation of various inhabitants and what jivas attain those places. This is all described in the fifth canto, Vedic cosmology. So, Srila Vishwanatha Chakrabarti Thakur says that the answer for this question is suitable for all kinds of devotees. Pramanam andakoshasya bahyabhyantara bhedatah mahatam chanucharitam varnashrama vinischayah. Please speak about the dimensions of the universe, fifth canto, outside and inside. The activities of the great soul, it's described in which canto? Throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. And the definition of varnashram and various details of varnashram, which canto? Seventh canto, it is described in detail. So, here it is mentioned that question about the dimensions of the universe is for bhakti mixed with Aishwarya. Those who want to go to Vaikuntha, they will be real. Their sadhana will get really inspired by hearing about the wonderful dimensions of the universe and how such a huge universe is coming out of the bodily pores of Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. Hearing all that, it inspires their bhakti. And question about Varnashram is for mixed devotees. So if one is very much interested in the details of Varnashram duties with a desire to practice, it indicates that he is in mixed devotion. Because a pure devotee has a very indifferent attitude towards Varnashram duties. He doesn't feel that it is necessary for him to perform Varnashram to achieve perfection in life. So therefore, a pure devotee has a very indifferent attitude towards Varnashram duties. So therefore, the description of Varnashram, Srila Vishwanatha Chakrabarti Thakur says, is for mixed devotees, it's not for pure devotees. yugani yugamanam cha dharmo yascha yuge yuge avataran charitam yatascharyatamam harehe. Please describe the various yugas, the duration of those yugas, the dharmas which are practiced in these yugas, and the yuga avataras who come to institute that yuga dharma. Krishna varnam tusha krishnam sangopangastra parshadam yajnai sankirtana praye yajantihi sumedasa. 11th canto describes about the various yugas, their durations, the yuga avataras, and the kind of dharma that they institute. All of that is described in the 11th canto in the discussion between Karabhajan Muni and Nimi Maharaj. So this is relevant for all kinds of devotees. Nrinam sadharano dharma savisheshascha yadrishah shreninam rajarshinam cha dharma kritchreshu jivatam. So he says, Nrinam sadharano dharma. Please speak about the general dharma which everyone should practice, which is only bhakti. Because only bhakti can be practiced by everyone. There is no material disqualification for practice of bhakti. So therefore bhakti is called the sadharana dharma. And sa visheshascha yadrisha. And please speak about the various dharma according to birth. So what is the dharma according to birth? Guna karma vibhagashaha. So what is that dharma which is according to birth? Same thing you are telling. He is telling Varnashram dharma, you are telling Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya. So which is that dharma? No. It is actually Varnashram only. Okay. So when Prabhupada says that, once Varna is not decided based on birth, it is only according to guna and karma. What it means is that it is not dependent just on birth. But if you see, birth is certainly indicative of one's inclinations. Why would a particular soul take shelter of a brahmanically inclined father and a brahmanically inclined mother? Is it by chance? No. According to law of karma, the kind of activities that he has done, the kind of impressions that he has accumulated, based on which he has developed specific desires, to fulfill that desire, whatever is a favorable father and mother, the living entity takes shelter of that particular father and mother. So, the dharma that is mentioned as being the dharma of birth is actually Varnashram dharma only. It's described by Prabhupada also. But the fact is that just by having taken birth does not mean automatically he does not have any other obligation. He automatically becomes a Brahmana or a Kshatriya. It's not like that. So he still has to strive in this lifetime to fulfill his obligations and actually endeavor to develop those qualities. So that is the meaning when Prabhupada says that it does not depend on birth. What it means, it does not just depend on birth. He is attacking that propensity which is currently very much prevailing. But in traditional Vedic society, the dharma of birth is actually Varnashram dharma only. Whatever Varna the parents are, the child naturally starts practicing it. Very rare cases that the child takes up to a different varna. So, this is what Krishna also tells in Bhagavad Gita. Mashucha sampadam daivin abhijadosi pandava. He says that after Krishna speaks about the asuri sampad,
He says that dambo varpo vimanascha krodha parushyamevacha. Ajnanam javijatasya partha sampada masurim. So Arjuna is thinking, it looks like I have all these qualities. I must be an asura. So Krishna, understanding this mood of Arjuna, says daivim sampad vimokshaya nibandaya suri mata mashucha sampadam daivim abhijadosi pandava. He says, my dear Arjuna, do not worry, because you are born with daivi sampad, which means people are actually born with certain qualities. Further, do they nourish those qualities by properly utilizing their free will in that particular lifetime or not is a different question. But nevertheless, people, living entities taking birth, are born with particular inclinations which is carrying over from the previous lifetimes. So no birth takes place by accident. So birth is according to the particular inclinations of the particular living entity. So therefore, the dharma that is mentioned here as being the dharma of birth is interestingly Varnashram dharma only. Then he says, Shreni nam Rajarshi nam cha. And in that I want to specifically hear about the dharmas of the Vaishyas and the kings. And dharma krichreshu jivatam. And when it is possible to, and please speak about apat dharma. Apat dharma means, under certain emergency situations, when it is impossible to perform one's regular occupational duty, what are the other allowed occupations that one can perform? This is described by detail in the 7th canto by Narada Muni to Yudhishthir Maharaj, when he speaks about apat dharma.
One reason why only Vaishyan kings, why not Brahman and kings?
I don't know.
Brahman and king would be more easy to gel. Vaishya, I am thinking Vaishya.
It's not very clear here. It's not mentioned by the Acharyas also. So here in 7th canto, if you see, very detailed description that in case of emergency, apatkalin sthiti, when a brahmana is not able to perform his shat karma, patan patan yajan yajan dana pratigraha, what are the other allowed means of performing his occupation and generating his livelihood? Or earning his livelihood. He says, even under apatkalin sthiti, a brahmana should not perform these activities. But these activities he can perform. Under kshatriya, under apatkalin sthiti, he should never take up the profession of a brahmana to earn. But these are the other apatkalin options that are available for a kshatriya. So like that, apat dharma is described in great detail in the 7th canto by Narada Muni to Yudhishthir Maharaj. He is a king. He needs to institute Varnashram system in his kingdom. Even though he himself may be qualified for practicing pure devotional service, but nevertheless he has to institute this system in his kingdom where not everyone may be qualified for practicing pure devotional service. So this is described in great detail by Narada Muni in the 7th canto. And Prabhupada and Vishnachakra Thakur says that these details about Varnashram are meant for Karma Mishra Bhaktas or mixed devotees. So Prabhupada also writes here in the purport, Sadharana Dharma is devotional service only. Because Kirata Honandra Palinda Palkasha Abhira Shumba Yavanahaka Sadaya Yenyecha Papa Yadapashraya Shraya Shudyanditasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha. All these practitioners can practice bhakti. None of these can practice karma yoga or jnana yoga or ashtanga yoga. Religious affiliation in terms of country and culture is not sadharana dharma. And also Prabhupada writes that Varnashram rules also depend on devotional service.
And Prabhupada says there is no apat dharma for devotees. Because they will never be put into any situation where performing devotional service would be impossible. They may not be able to chant in their beads, but they will never be put in a situation where they cannot chant at all, where they cannot remember Krishna at all. Some limb of bhakti they will be able to practice. So Prabhupada says that there is no apat dharma for devotees. So devotees need not wonder that, what is the apat dharma for devotees? There is no apat dharma for devotees. The Prabhupada says that devotees will never be put into difficulty. Therefore, there is no question of apat dharma for them. And Srila Vishnu Chakra Thakur says that this question is for all kinds of devotees. Like that.
Like previously you mentioned that birth also indicates certain guna and karma. So yeah. I wanted to ask, so that birth means what is the current situation of that family, like there may be a Brahmana family,
yeah,
and there may be a Vaishya family, but currently this Vaishya, like some Gujarati family, they are very Krishna, what you call, devoted, yeah. And this one may be Brahmana family, but they may not, so does that mean that point?
Yeah, at that point, what is their consciousness? That kind of soul they will extract.
Okay, understood.
Yeah, because we see that sometimes, one devotee, I will not take names. You know that devotee quite well. So he was born in a family which has unmentionable background. Yeah. Very bad background. Really bad background, you can't imagine. But somehow, if you see, the father and mother were somehow quite pious and devoted also. Somehow, by chance. When they grew up, probably by good association, they developed. And they became quite well read also. They got good. But otherwise, if you see their other extended family, it's all like really unmentionable background. Someone died of AIDS. They were very, very degraded background. But then, by proper association, the father and mother, they grew up quite well and developed very good qualities. And this devotee took birth in that family. So their current situation, by birth they were like unmentionable, but by association they developed good qualities and a very good personality was attracted through their union, like that.
When Prabhupada says like kings have some children's Brahmanas, some children's Kshatriyas, so how the same father mother having different qualities, children
of? Yeah, those are like very special cases. The father was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Rishabhdev. So such special cases, what would you call Rishabhdev as Kshatriya? Aham sarvasya prabho matas sarvam pravartate, whether it is Brahmanas or Vaishyas or Shudras, all of them come from Rishabhdev. Those are special cases, rare. Okay. Tattvanam parisankhyanam lakshanam hetu lakshanam purusharadana vidir yogasya adhyatmikasya cha. Please enumerate the elements and describe their principal qualities. Third canto, 26th chapter, this is described. As well as their effects. Describe the rules of worshipping the purushavataras. Second, third canto is described. Describe the activities of the rules of Ashtanga Yoga mixed with Bhakti. Third canto, 28th chapter, Kapila Dev's instructions. This is described. And here, of course, discussion about Yoga Mishra Bhakti is for Yoga Mishra Bhaktas. Like that. యోగేశ్వరైశ్వర్యగతిర్ లింగభంగస్తు యోగినాం వేదోపవేద ధర్మాణాం ఇతిహాస పురాణయోః. ప్లీజ్ స్పీక్ అబౌట్ ద పొజిషన్ ఆఫ్ పవర్ అచీవ్డ్ బై గ్రేట్ డివోటీస్, అబౌట్ హౌ గ్రేట్ డివోటీస్ అచీవ్డ్ వండర్ఫుల్ పవర్ త్రూ అవుట్ భాగవతం. ఇట్ ఇస్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ లింగ భంగస్తు యోగి నామ్, అబౌట్ ద డిస్ట్రక్షన్ ఆఫ్ ద సటిల్ బాడీస్ ఆఫ్ ద యోగీస్. ఇట్ వాస్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ ఇన్ ద సెకండ్ క్యాంటో ఆల్సో, అండ్ ఇట్ విల్ బి డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ ఇన్ గ్రేట్ డీటెయిల్ ఇన్ ద థర్డ్ క్యాంటో ఆల్సో, 28th చాప్టర్, 27th చాప్టర్. ఇఫ్ ఇట్స్ అబౌట్ జ్ఞాన యోగీస్ 27th చాప్టర్, ఇఫ్ ఇట్స్ అబౌట్ అష్టాంగ యోగీస్ 28th చాప్టర్. వేద ఉపవేద ధర్మాణం ఇతిహాస పురాణయో, అండ్ ప్లీజ్ స్పీక్ అబౌట్ ద కన్క్లూషన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద వేదాస్ ఉపవేదాస్ ఇతిహాసాస్ అండ్ పురాణాస్. This comes throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srila Prabhupada, Vishnadagar Thakur mentions here that the first two lines are for Shanta Bhakti and second two lines are for all types of devotees. Should know about the conclusions of the Vedas, Upavedas, Itihasas, Puranas. What is their conclusions? It's relevant for all devotees. సంప్లవసర్వూతానాం విక్రమ ప్రతి సంక్రమ ఇష్టాపూర్తస్య కామ్యానాం త్రివర్గస్య చ యో విధి. ప్లీజ్ డిస్క్రైబ్ ద డెలివరెన్స్ ఫ్రమ్ సంసార విచ్ ఇస్ బై ప్రాక్టీస్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి. వాట్ ఇస్ ఫేవరబుల్ అండ్ అన్ఫేవరబుల్ ఫర్ భక్తి? విక్రమ ప్రతి సంక్రమ, దిస్ ఆల్సో థ్రూఅవుట్ భాగవతం ఇట్ ఇస్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్. ద రూల్స్ ఫర్ వేదిక్ స్మార్థ అండ్ కామ్యకర్మ, 7th క్యాంటో ఇట్స్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్. As well as for Artha, Dharma and Kama, this is the Varnashram description. This is all for Karma Mishra Bhaktas. They need to know these subject matters. So, okay, let's continue. Yovanushayi nam sarga pashandasya char sambhavah atmano bandha mokshaucha వ్యవస్థానం స్వరూపతః. ప్లీజ్ డిస్క్రైబ్ ద అపియరెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద జీవాస్ హు ఆర్ మర్జ్డ్ ఇన్ ద లార్డ్ అట్ డివాస్టేషన్. వాట్ హ్యాపన్స్ టు ద జీవాస్ హు ఆర్ మర్జ్డ్ ఇన్ ది లార్డ్ ద టైమ్ ఆఫ్ డివాస్టేషన్? అండ్ ద క్రియేషన్ ఆఫ్ ద ఇంపోస్టర్స్ పాషండస్య చ సంభవః. వన్ ఆఫ్ ది ఎపిసోడ్స్ ఇస్ పృథుమారాజ్ ఎపిసోడ్ ఎన్ ఇంద్రా కమ్స్ టు స్టీల్ ది 100th హార్స్. So many, many different kinds of false sannyasis, sampradaya start from there. Atmano bandha mokshaucha, describe the bondage and liberation of the conditioned jivas. About various places in Bhagavatam, especially 5th canto, 3rd canto, described in detail. Conditions of the eternally liberated jivas, swarupatah vyavasthanam. Again, eternally liberated jivas, you know, the whole 10th canto especially is about nitya siddhas only, all the personalities. And of course, even before 10th canto, there are many descriptions of pastimes of devotees who are all nitya siddhas. So Srila Prabhupada writes, Vishnu Jagadagur mentions here, the question about creation of jivas is for the sadhakas, all kinds of sadhakas. Question about the pashandis concerns those without bhakti. Question about bondage and liberation of jivas is for jnana mishra bhaktas and bhakti mishra jnanis or jnana yogis. And the conditions of the eternally liberated jivas, it is a description of the bhakti of the nitya siddhas, which is especially described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yatatma tantro bhagavan vikridatyatma mayaya visrijyavayata mayam udaste sakshivat vibhu. Describe how the supremely independent Krishna carries out pastimes using his yogamaya potency, and after creating special pastimes of disappearance, remains indifferent to them like a superficial witness, sakshivad. So he wants to know about the nature of Supreme Lord's pastimes. Sometimes he performs pastimes as if he is very much attached to the personalities involved there, to his devotees. Sometimes he performs disappearance pastimes as if he is absolutely detached from them. So how do we understand the such pastimes of appearance, pastimes and disappearance? Where this apparently contradictory mood of the Supreme Lord is seen? How do we understand? So this is the last question asked by Srila Parikshit Maharaj to Shukadev Goswami. So now he says, Sarvam etaccha bhagavan pruchato menu purvashah tatvator hasyudahartum prapannaya mahamune. O great sage, O Lord, tatvato udahartum arhasi. You should truthfully declare to me etat sarvam, all of this. And cha indicates even what I have not asked. If you think it is important for me, you please speak. May anupurvashah, in sequence. It is in sequence of themes and not in sequence of the questions asked by Parikshit Maharaj. This is clarified by Srila Vishnu Jagadish Thakur. Prapannaya, because I am a soul surrendered unto you, therefore you please answer these questions. Srila Prabhupada writes here, inquisitiveness is very important for a student. If one is not inquisitive, one need not approach a spiritual master. That's the conclusion of Prabhupada. Atta pramanam hi bhavan parameshti yatatma bohu aparechanu tishtanti purvesham purva jaikritam. So, he says that why am I asking you these questions when this whole assembly is filled with so many other exalted personalities? Why am I feeling inspired to ask you these questions? He says, Atra pramanam hi bhavan, because you are the authority. Atma bhuhu parameshti yata. Just like Brahmaji, you are the authority. Apare purvesham purvajai kritam anutishtanti. Whereas the other sages perform actions according to what was done by the previous knowers. They may follow the previous knowers who are like, who may be mental speculators. They may not fall within the category of parampara. Whereas your knowledge is like the knowledge of Brahma. Brahmaji directly received it from the Supreme Lord. And similarly, you have received that knowledge through that very same parampara. Therefore, I find you the right authority to answer these questions. Whereas others may speculate according to their own taste. So therefore, I am not asking them. Srila Prabhupada also mentions about this in this purport. He says, why didn't Parikshit Maharaj consult other great sages like Kanad, Kapila, Ashtavakra, etc.? Of course, the Kapila mentioned here is atheistic Kapila. Because their knowledge was not in parampara, therefore he didn't ask them. Mind is material, and therefore knowledge presented by mental speculations cannot be transcendental. Prabhupada gives a very simple explanation. Mind is material. How can it create something transcendental? So speculation can never bring one to the level of transcendence. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj wanted to hear from Shukadeva Goswami and no one else. But one may say, okay, Parikshit Maharaj, I see that you are very inspired. So, go and have your breakfast and come. So, then we can continue. And then we will give a break for lunch. And then we can continue later. He says, Name savaparayanti brahman anashanadami pivato achyuta piyusham tadvakyabdi vinisritam. O Brahmana, Name asavah parayanti. My life heirs are not at all disturbed. Anashanad, because of fasting. Then how are you getting nourishment? This again, the same subject matter Buddha Guru was mentioning yesterday in his class. So he says that pibato achyuta piyusham, I am getting nourished by the nectar of Krishna, tad vakyabdi vinasritam, that is emanating from your mouth. So therefore, don't worry about breaks. Keep speaking Krishna Katha, and I am getting nourished by the Krishna Katha. So you need not, and I know for sure that you also, you know, he is also a very exalted personality.
Parikshit Maharaj fasted 7 days and 7 nights. I'm just asking. See, everyone there were exalted sages.
It's not mentioned. Some of them might have had their own people and chanda also. So we don't know really.
Or they will get pomegranate from Kabul.
Yeah, maybe. It's not really mentioned. But we know for sure that Parikshit Maharaj did not eat or drink. That much is clear. Shukadeva Goswami is coming in a bona fide parampara. Therefore, Achyuta Katha from his mouth can make one transcend hunger and thirst. So, if someone is coming in the right parampara, then when he speaks Krishna Katha, then one can transcend hunger and thirst. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj was very eager to hear that and not the other mental speculations. Only people immersed in Achyuta Katha can overcome fear of death and other fears. Therefore, it's very important to cultivate this absorption. Because if you see, Krishna, whenever he is suggesting something in Bhagavad Gita, he immediately suggests that if this is not natural to you, you practice it. So Krishna says in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram ye prayati samadbhavam yati nastyatra samshay. If you remember me at the time of death, you will come to my abode. There is no doubt. Why? Yamyam vapi smaran bhavam tejatyante kalevaram samtameveti kaunteya sadatat bhava bhavita. He says that because whatever one remembers at the time of death, he gets an, the next birth is according to that bhava that he carries. So he says that tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmara yudhyacha. He said, therefore, always remember me. He doesn't say, therefore remember me at the time of death, because that is not possible. He says that therefore remember me at all times, so that you will be able to remember me at the time of death. Because the previous verse said, sada tad bhava bhavitaha. One is able to remember something at the time of death because he has always been thinking about it. So then one may say, right, to always think Krishna is very difficult. I am not able to always think about Krishna. So Krishna says in the next verse, abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanya gamina. Then practice. Practice thinking about me. So like that, throughout Bhagavad Gita, if you see, when Krishna says that you know, if ask Arjuna to do something, and if it's a very difficult thing, Krishna says, practice, abhyas. When you practice it, it will become natural. In 12th chapter also, we were seeing the other day, he says that, mai eva mana adatsva, mai buddhim niveshe,
engage your mind in me. If not possible, engage your intelligence in me. Ata chittam samadatam nashaknosi maistiram abhyasa yogena tato mamichaptam dananjaya. If you are not able to constantly engage your mind in me, if it is not natural for you, then practice. Practice engaging your mind in me. Then it will become natural. So, Krishna is not suggesting anything mystical here. If something is not natural, then the only solution that Krishna gives is practice it till it becomes natural. That's all. So if we are not able to, he says that one, as Prabhupada writes, only people immersed in Achyuta Katha can overcome fear of death and other fears. So if we don't have a natural absorption for Krishna Katha, then we cultivate it, practice it. Practice hearing more and more, practice hearing more and more. Practice hearing about the glories of Krishna Katha. Hearing about the glories, prayojan, also gives us a lot of impetus to develop that absorption. So that's what here he is mentioning. Suta uvacha sa upamantrito rajnya katayam iti satpatehe brahmarato brishamprito vishnu ratena samsadi. Being requested by the king. Who is the king? Vishnurat. He was personally protected by Vishnu within the womb. Angushta matram mamalam spurat purata maulinam apivya darshanam shyamam taditvasasam achyutam. In the assembly about Krishna's pastime, satpatehi katayam saha brahmarataha brisham pritaha. Shukadeva Goswami was greatly pleased. Even Shukadeva Goswami was protected within the womb of his mother. We discussed this past time, right? How Shukadeva Goswami was protected within the womb. No? So Shukadeva Goswami, this comes in the described in the Brahma Vaivarta Puran. And it is quoted by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in one of his purports. Ninth canto purports. So he says that once Vyasadev, Shukadeva Goswami stays in his mother's womb for how long? 16 years. So after 16 years, Vyasadeva has had enough. So he comes to Shukadeva Goswami and he says, can you please come out? You know, you are really troubling my wife. You know, you should come out, please. So Shukadeva Goswami says, I can't come out because I am afraid that I'll be bewildered by Krishna's maya. So Vyasadeva says, I give you assurance that you will not be touched by maya. So Shukadeva Goswami says from inside, who wants your assurance? Just 1 minute back you told, don't trouble my wife. So which indicates that you already are attached to your wife. So therefore, I don't value your assurance. So then Vyasadeva says, then whose assurance do you want? He says, if I get the assurance of the Lord of Maya, then I will come out. He says, okay, I'll do something. So Vyasadeva goes to Dwaraka and requests Krishna, Krishna, please come and resolve this situation. And Krishna comes all the way from Dwaraka and he says, okay, please come out. So then Krishna says, okay, if you say so, if you give assurance, then I will definitely come out. Like that Shukadeva Goswami says and comes out. And then he says that, Krishna says that, oh, Krishna is very much captivated by the speech of Shukadeva Goswami and he says that, oh, he speaks so sweetly. So Vyasadeva, you should name him as Shuka, parrot, like that. Yes, please.
So Krishna gives does the namkaran for Shukadeva Goswami.
From Jomavaivata Puran, right?
Yeah.
Is it also mentioned little in the Bhagavatam also? That Krishna comes and...
No, it's these details are mentioned by in Brahma Vaivarta Puran as quoted by Srila Vishnu Chakra Thakur in one of his ninth canto, one of the episodes of appearance of Shukadeva Goswami comes in ninth canto. And these details are mentioned in the commentary of Vishnu Chakra Thakur when he speaks about...
Because in many Bhagavatam has many pictures, you know. I have seen one picture of Krishna standing and... I mean, you have seen the picture?
Yes.
I was always thinking, where this description is in Bhagavatam? Hmm. Krishna is there in the house, Vasudeva is standing, and the child is in the womb of Vasudeva's wife.
Achha.
That photo is there.
I think ninth canto, I am not exactly able to recollect. The exact pastime is there in Brahma Vivarta Puran, but maybe in ninth canto, I am not able to exactly recollect. There's a small description, but what exactly is there in that detail, I'm not able to recollect. I'll check and tell you. Yeah. So he says that being requested by the king in the assembly about Krishna's pastime, Shukadeva was greatly pleased. And he started speaking Krishna Katha. Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, transcendental topics like Srimad Bhagavatam should only be discussed between devotees. Otherwise, it becomes the ninth offense. Instructing a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. Or, so, one should know the one's audience and only accordingly give what he can digest. Only then the real nectar can be relished. Foolish people will only misinterpret. Shukadeva Goswami is addressed as Brahmaratha as he was saved by the Lord. Praha Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Sammitam Brahmane Bhagavat Proktam Brahma Kalpa Upagate. He spoke the scripture called Bhagavatam, Praha Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Sammitam, which is the essence of all Vedas. Brahmane Bhagavat Proktam, which was spoken by the Supreme Lord Himself to Brahmaji. Brahma Kalpa Upagate, in the first Kalpa, on the first day of Brahma's appearance, the Supreme Lord spoke this Bhagavatam to Brahmaji.
This is... Prabhupada mentions the story which was read in the purport.
Achha.
In the ninth canto.
Ninth canto. Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
It comes in the purport. Prabhupada says, Shukadeva Goswami mentioned this verse different from, Shuka mentioned this verse different from Shukadeva Goswami. And then he says, Shukadeva Goswami, son of Vasudeva, is described in great detail in Brahma Vaivarta Puran. And they mentions Vasudeva married daughter of Jabali and a child was in the womb. Vasudeva said, assured that he would not be influenced by my child, did not believe his father. His father had to go to...
Correct. Yeah. Oh, so the photo must be from based on this purport. Yeah. Okay. So. Okay. Then finally he says, Yadyat Parikshit Rishabaha Pando Namanu Pruchati Anupurvyena Tatsarvam Akyatum Upachakrame. Akyatam upachakrame, Shukadeva began to explain. Anupurvyena. So Anupurvyena does not mean with respect to, according to the chronological order. It is according to the topic. So according to the flow of themes, whatever relevant question was asked which was flowing in line with that particular theme, Shukadeva Goswami spoke about it. Yadyat parikshit tat sarvam. Whatever Parikshit Maharaj had asked, all of that was answered by Shukadeva Goswami. Who was Parikshit Maharaj? Pandunam Rishabha, the best amongst all the Pandavas. Anupruchati, whatever he had asked. Everything, and Vishnu Chakravarti clarifies here, the sequence is according to the topic and not according to the questions. So now, Sukadeva Goswami is going to answer these questions, starting from this 9th chapter. So we'll take a short 5-minute break, and then we'll start with the 9th chapter, and we'll end the class at 12:15. Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami is going to answer the questions asked by Parikshit Maharaj. So, what are the first question asked by Parikshit Maharaj in this series? Even before that, the first thing he asked was, how did this relationship between the jiva who is spiritual and the body which is material, how did this relationship happen? Did it happen by chance or is there a cause? Yad adatumato brahman deharambosya dhatubihi yadrichaya hetunava bhavanto janateyata. This was the question asked. Please explain whether the body or the jiva made of elements takes place by chance or by any specific cause as you understand it. How did this relationship happen? So, Sukadeva Goswami is first going to answer this question in first 3 verses. So he says, Shri Shuka Uvacha Atmamayamrute Rajan Parasyanubhavatmanah Nakatetartha Sambandha Swapna Drashtar Ivanjasa. So he says, Artha Sambandha. Artha Sambandha means a real relationship. A real relationship na gateta does not actually take place. So Sukadeva Goswami says it's an invalid question. Because a real relationship does not happen between the living entity and the body. Artha sambandha na gateta atma mayamrute. Through the avidya shakti of the Lord, because the avidya shakti makes the living entity identify with the body, gross or subtle. Through that avidya shakti does not create a real relationship between the living entity and the body. It creates an imaginary relationship. So in actuality there is no relationship, but the jiva imagines it. So atma maya mrite artha sambandha na gateta. Why? Because he says that parasya, because the jiva is superior to matter, and anubhavatmanah, and jiva by nature is full of knowledge. Therefore, he does not develop a real relationship with the body. But looking at all the living entities in this material world, they definitely seem to have a real relationship with the body. How would you explain it? He says, Swapna drashtari vanjasa. It's just like a dreamer seeing his dream body. So, just like in a dream, and some dreams are very real. So, once I dreamt like my mother passed away. Did I tell? So, once anyway, so I'll come back to this story later. So he says that it's just like a dream, swapna drashtari vanjasa. But a real relationship between the body and the soul does not actually happen. It's just like a dream. But one may say, if it is just like a dream, then Brahmaji in one of his prayers, he says, Kshutratridatubhidima mahurar dhyamana shitoshnavata varashairitaretaracha కామాగ్నినాచ్యుతరుషాచ సుదుర్భరేణ సంపశ్యతో మనౌర్క్రమసీదతే మే. సో బ్రహ్మాజీ ఈస్ టెలింగ్ టు ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ ద థర్డ్ క్యాంటో ఇన్ హిస్ ప్రేయర్స్ దట్ మై డియర్ లార్డ్ వెన్ ఐ సీ పీపుల్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ సఫరింగ్ డ్యూ టు క్షుత్ర హంగర్ థర్స్ట్ శీత ఉష్ణ వాత వర్ష కామాగ్నిన అచ్యుతరుష అచ్యుత కామాగ్నిన విత్ ది రిలెంట్లెస్ లస్ట్ అండ్ రుషాచ సుదుర్భరేణ అండ్ వెరీ డిఫికల్ట్ టు ఓవర్కమ్ యాంగర్ వెన్ ఐ సీ పీపుల్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ సఫరింగ్ డ్యూ టు ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ సంపశ్యతో మన ఉరుక్రమ సీదతే మే. మై డియర్ లార్డ్ మై హార్ట్ రియలీ పెయిన్స్ అండ్ క్రైస్ ఫర్ దీస్ పీపుల్ బట్ ద లార్డ్ మే ఆస్క్ మై డియర్ బ్రహ్మాజీ ప్లీజ్ వేకప్ డోంట్ యు నో దట్ ద సఫరింగ్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ పీపుల్ ఇన్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్ ఇస్ జస్ట్ లైక్ ఎ డ్రీమ్ నో వన్ టేక్స్ అ డ్రీమ్ సీరియస్లీ వై ఆర్ యూ టేకింగ్ ఇట్ సో సీరియస్లీ like sometimes you know I told this about my father dreaming my father always dreams some thief has broken into the house and he has to protect the household okay head of the family he has you know typical anxieties so first time you know I remember that my father is an early sleeper so he went to sleep early and me my mother and sister we were sitting and doing something or speaking whatever so suddenly father started shouting he has his typical oi oi like that as if he is trying to who shouts Harshad Prabhu only one day so like that you know my father started shouting you know actually me and my sister we panicked hey, what's happening what happened to father my mother was very calm because she had longer experience so my mother was very calm so we went and woke up our father so he woke up and said oh I dreamt like a thief had broken into the house that's like a standard dream we all I think we I don't know I have my standard dreams my standard dream is always like I am going for an exam or something and I get stuck up in a traffic jam and or you know I am running to catch a train and I get stuck up in a traffic jam or running to catch a flight you know I am not sure but eventually the dream ends before I realize whether I catch the train or miss the train because the anxiety becomes more and more and more that at some point the dream breaks and you wake up or something like that so it has never happened that I successfully caught the train or actually missed the train or whatever so sometimes it's more dramatic sometimes it's less dramatic you know but nonetheless but eventually we saw that every once in a while the same sound hey hey you know eventually we started laughing about it first time we really panicked what's happening but subsequently we know what's happening even if we wake up we will tell oh I dreamt like you know a thief has broken into the house like that so no one takes a dream very seriously but why is here Brahmaji speaking like this that when I see the people suffering in this material world you know I feel like very distressed within my heart so Brahmaji clarifies this in the next prayer he says yavat prutattvam idam atmana indriyartha maya balam bhagavato jana isha pashyet tavanna samsrutir sau prati sankrameta వ్యర్థాపి దుఃఖ నివహం వహతి క్రియార్థ సో హి సేస్ దట్ యావత్ జనః యాస్ లాంగ్ యాస్ పీపుల్ పశ్యేత్ సీ ఇదం ఆత్మనా పృథక్త్వం as long Atmana, soul, Prithak, that which is different from the soul, what is that?
Body.
As Pashyet, as long as people are identifying with the body, okay, as long as they are sleeping, their suffering is real. Isn't it? When they wake up, they laugh about it. But when they are sleeping, their suffering is very real. Like I remember talking about dreams. Once I dreamt like I had lost my mother. And I was quite attached to my mother. So, you know, it was vacation time. Throughout the day, from early morning, we had only one goal. To full day play cricket. That was our goal during vacation times. I was maybe 4th standard, 5th standard, like that. My mother was working at that time. So, whole day we played cricket, and towards the evening we got so tired. I became so tired that I dozed off and slept. And I dreamt like my mother had passed away. And I was crying and crying and crying. And I was really crying. The pillow had become wet with my tears. And in the meantime, my mother came back from office. And she was ringing the bell. But I was so absorbed in the dream that I was crying. That my mother had passed away. But my mother was ringing the bell in the real world. In the dream world, she had passed away. She was ringing and ringing. And she started panicking. And she started banging the door. And still no response. And in the meantime, the other neighbors heard all this. They all came. So they went. My house was in the first floor. So they went running to the ground floor and they started shouting. Because the bedroom was just above. So they started shouting my name. And after a long time of shouting and banging the door, you know, I just woke up. And then I went and opened the door and I saw my mother standing. And it was a big shock for me because I could not believe. Because it was such an absorbing dream that I could not believe that my mother is actually alive. Then it was like, you know, I felt very relieved and happy. It was just a dream. But when my mother came and saw the whole pillow was, you know, wet with, you know, and I was crying, my face had become, you know, sort of swollen due to all that crying and all that. It was, you know, I never had such an absorbing dream ever after that. But Brahmaji says that once the person wakes up from the dream, he laughs about it. Till he wakes up from his dream, his suffering is real. If my mother had really passed away also, I would have cried that much only. And my face would have swollen only. So all that suffering was there. The suffering was mitigated only after I woke up from the dream. Then I laughed about it. But till I wake up, the suffering is real. So we may say that all that suffering that we are going through because of this bodily identification is just like a dream. But for a person who has not woken up from the dream, it is not a dream, it is real. So, that's what he says that Yavat Prithaktvam Idam Atmana Indriyartha. And then he says, and you know what? These people could have woken up from the dream, but I see Maya Balam Bhagavato. This powerful Maya Devi is standing with that anesthesia. When he is ready to wake up, she puts him back to sleep. When he is ready to wake up, she puts him back to sleep. So, when she is standing there, ensuring that this person does not wake up. So, till he wakes up, his suffering is real. So, therefore I am feeling very distressed, seeing the suffering of these living entities. Tavanna samsrita rasau pratisankrameta. So till he wakes up, his suffering is real. Vyarthapi, even though it's useless, it's something which one should not be, no one takes a dream seriously. It's Vyartha. It's a waste of time to take a dream very seriously. So, I would not, it's not that no one would, so every time I'm dreaming that I'm going to miss the train or flight, so let me purchase a private jet so that, you know, I will never have to miss my train or flight. So one would not purchase a private jet because he is constantly dreaming like that. So therefore here he says that vyarthapi, a dream is useless, no one takes it seriously, but still the suffering of the person in dream is real. It's as good as real. It's not real, but his suffering is real. Dream is only imaginary. The dream is imaginary, but his suffering is real. Vyartapi dukkha nivaham vahati. Vyartapi dukkha nivaham vahati. Even though it is insubstantial, but still it produces great suffering. So Brahmaji says, therefore I'm very much concerned. I'm deeply disturbed by this situation of conditioned living entities. So, that's what he's telling. Actually, no real relationship is established between the living entity and the material body. But a very strong imaginary relationship is established, which the living entity does not realize till he wakes up from the dream. Which means till he becomes liberated, he does not realize. Even our understanding of this being a dream is only theoretical. So all that dream that I was talking about, it was dream within a dream. Okay? But now also, you know, someone passes away, we go through so many distress, it really affects us. Okay? We have not really learned from our dreams. So, dream within the dream, you know, we have not really learned from our dream within the dreams. Because, you know, still we suffer and we get very much elated when we get something materially wonderful like that. So, Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, this Maya overcoming the spirit soul was realized by Vyasadeva. That is it indicated. Vyasadeva realizing the Maya's covering. First canto. Yaya Sammohi, 7th chapter. Yaya Sammohito Jivo Atmanam Trigunatmakam. But that Maya, he saw that had taken shelter of the Supreme Lord. Mayam Chatad Apashrayam. Therefore, even the disobedient Jiva is under the control of the Lord through his Maya potency. So therefore, indirectly, even a conditioned soul is under the control of the Supreme Lord only. But if the soul is pure, how did it come under this Maya potency? So Prabhupada says, Jiva is constitutionally a servant. Jivera Swarup Hoi Krishnara Nityadas. But since he has minute independence, he wanted to rebel and become like Krishna. But the Jiva, because of lack of qualification, cannot become God. So it's not possible for the living entity. Because Krishna, the living entity, is eternal, not created by Krishna. It's co-eternally existing with Krishna as a part and parcel of Krishna. And its constitutional nature is also eternal. That is also not created by Krishna in that sense. So therefore, the constitutionally the living entity cannot become God. These two are different tattvas. You can never make a sweet tasting halwa out of
It's not possible. Whatever processing you may do, unless you put 100 kilograms of sugar in 1 kilogram of karela and make a halwa out of it, okay, then it's a different thing. But otherwise, karela is constitutionally bitter only. Similarly, the living entity is constitutionally servant only. He cannot become God. But we think that, oh, it's a problem. Why? Because we think that the happiness is only there in becoming God. Whereas God is thinking that this living entity who is serving me is getting more pleasure. And he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The grass is always greener on the other side. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to become the devotee, and the living entity who is constitutionally a devotee wants to become the Supreme Lord. But only one is a fact. The fact is that the living entity can, if he becomes a devotee, can, if he becomes a pure devotee, he can experience more joy than the Supreme Lord. That is constitutionally a right tattva. But because of his misunderstanding, he is thinking, why I cannot become God? Why can't God allow me to become the Supreme Lord himself? You know, all such questions we ask. The point is that our constitution is eternal. It is not created by the Lord. It's eternally like that only. And we can get maximum happiness, even more happiness than the Supreme Lord, by serving the Supreme Lord. That's the way we can get happiness. But if we imagine that we will get happiness through some other way, then that's our problem. Therefore, he is put in a state of dreaming by putting him in the material world. Unless one is influenced by the energy of... The Lord also makes the jiva forgetful of his constitutional position as a servant. Because if he does not forget it, then he can't enjoy really. It's like you have a cup of sweet rice and you put some sand in it. That, knowing that all that you want to enjoy belongs to someone else, you know, you can't really enjoy it actually. Full enjoyment means knowing that it belongs to me and I am enjoying it right royally. That's real enjoyment. So Krishna says, fine, I will facilitate it through the Maya potency he covers. Make him forget that everything belongs to me. Let him think that it belongs to him and get at least, and let him at least imagine, at least in his dream, let him get some pleasure. Like that. So Prabhupada gives the example, the analogy that, you know, the child cries for the moon and the mother gives him a mirror. Mother definitely cannot get him the moon. It's not at all possible. But to pacify him, he gives a mirror. Similarly, the living entity cannot become the Lord, but at least, you know, he can dream about enjoying. So that facility is created by the Supreme Lord. Like that. Okay, let's continue. Bahurupai vapati mayaya bahurupaya ramamano guneshvasya mamaham iti manyate. So when he is put in this sleeping situation, the jiva, because of identifying with the body, seems that sometimes he is a human being, sometimes he is an animal, sometimes he is a plant. Bahurupa iva abhati. It seems like he is taking different forms. How? Mayaya. Because the agency of Maya facilitates. Based on his karma and swabhava, it gives him different kinds of bodies. Bahurupaya. Because of the variety of dispositions of the jiva. Swarupa. Swabhava. Ramamano guneshvasya mama aham iti manyate. The jiva enjoying the gunas, thinking in terms of me and mine. Mama aham iti manyate. So with every body, he is identifying that he is that body, and people or things related to the body belongs to him. And like that, he imagines enjoyment. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Vishnu Jagadagur mentions here, when the jiva starts to have a relationship with the body because of his association with maya, the jiva appears to have many forms such as infant, adolescent, etc. This is not actually a fact because the jiva is a spiritual particle. The many forms occur because of the many dispositions of the jivas. The desire to be completely under shelter of his parents is there in the jiva. So that desire is fulfilled by giving that jiva a infant body. The desire to enjoy the opposite sex is there in the jiva. But that desire is fulfilled by giving an adolescent body to the living entity. So these various dispositions are there, and the appropriate impressions start coming to the surface when the right age manifests. So all of that is so scientifically facilitated to the minutest detail by the Supreme Lord, so that he can facilitate our rebellion. So even the mother, if the child is very stubborn, she says, "Theek hai, lege jao." She throws that particular, a child says, "No, no, give me the full chocolate, full chocolate, full chocolate," you know. Like my mother used to purchase this dairy milk. You all know dairy milk. So it used to have these square pieces. Neither could my father afford to buy a dairy milk every day for both of us, nor did my mother feel that it is good for our health. So she used to purchase and hide that dairy milk somewhere, and every day break one or two pieces from there and give it to us. Okay, like that. But sometimes when we used to become very stubborn and cry and really, make a hell out of the whole thing, then, very, very rarely, she used to just throw that whole packet and say, "Okay, go. Go and eat the whole thing and go to hell." Like that. But that's a very cross way of doing it. But when the Supreme Lord does it, he goes to the minutest detail to facilitate our rebellion, because of the one particular vow, or which he never breaks, is, "I will never ever infringe upon the free will of the living entity. You want to enjoy, I will facilitate it." So Krishna as Vishnu Tattva never infringes on the free will of the living entity. So even the holy name, Harinam Chintamani explains, that holy name, when chanted by a person who wants mukti, does not remove that desire of mukti. It fulfills that desire of mukti. That is why the holy name is called Chintamani, desire tree. With whatever desire you approach the holy name will fulfill. Okay. So, the holy name, but then what is the, one may say, what is the meaning of Cheto Darpana Marjanam? That it cleanses the mirror of heart. What does it mean? Is the holy name capable or not? So, holy name cleanses the heart of those impurities which are not inherent to our Shraddha. Meaning, according to our Shraddha, whatever we identify as anarthas, the holy name cleanses. Whatever we identify as our prayojan, the holy name fulfills. So what we identify, see, whenever we receive a particular faith or a value system, immediately based on that value system, we decide, okay, this is my goal and these are the obstacles to achieving my goal. Let's do a small exercise here. Okay, starting from here, you share something what you think is good for you. Quickly, you should not think much. Association. Muktakesh Prabhu, what is good for you? Bhagavatam, what is good for you? Huh? Kirtan, what is good for you? Huh? Hearing, what is good for you? Yeah. Vaishnava relationship, what is good for you? For you? Remembering God, what is good for you? What is good for you? Krishna Prasad, wonderful. What is good for you? Association. Attentive chanting. Roju, would you like to share? Association of devotees. Prasad. See, and okay, now, what is, you all can share what is bad for you? Offenses. 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 Something different. From not being in the association of devotees. What do you say? Asatsanga. Frivolity. Sleeping during japa. Disobedience superior. Being judgmental. Okay. So now if you see, we have all, there is some unimaginable similarity in our thought process, in our value system. What we perceive as good and what we perceive as bad, that's our value system. That is based on this principle of anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. Whatever you have mentioned as being good for you is anukul for bhakti. Whatever you have mentioned as being bad for you is pratikul for bhakti. So in this room, everyone's values, we have a common value system here, which we have received in the form of the seed of devotion. So, what each one of us value as prayojan is prema. And what each one of us is valuing, but some of us may even like what we have identified as what we have identified as being bad. Like for example, someone, can you share something that you shared as being bad, but you sort of like it? Getting distinction. How many of you like some distinction? Okay, raise your hands. Okay. How many of you feel it is bad? How come the same people are raising hands? See, the point is that before coming to Krishna consciousness, our value system was based on what I like is good for me. What I don't like is bad for me. This is called Swabhavajam Shraddha. A value system which is based on our swabhava, our impressions that we have accumulated. And it varies from person to person. But after one receives a Shastrik Shraddha, the highest of the Shastrik Shraddha is the Shraddha of pure devotional service, one develops a different value system. It's not that overnight that distinction which you cherished so much, it's not that after receiving that pure devotional faith, that desire goes away.
So, but what happens is that desire does not go away, but immediately after you receive that value system, you put it in the category of anartha. It is no longer your prayojan. While before coming to bhakti, we were thinking, the goal of my life is to be known as the best student. The goal of my life is to be known as the best achiever amongst all my equals. That was the prayojan. And we were praying to the Supreme Lord to fulfill it. But after receiving the pure devotional Shraddha, it's not that overnight that desire has vanished. But we have put it in a different category. We have put it in the anartha category. We want it removed now. But the fact is, you can remove only that thing which is already there. The desire for distinction is there. The desire for fame is there. The desire for sometimes, you know, enjoying forbidden things may still be there. But before coming to bhakti, we were thinking that it is the goal. But after receiving a different value system, which is based on pure devotional value system, you see, commonly, all of us had similar kind of what is good and what is bad. But you ask anyone outside, their good and bad would be predominantly based on what they like and what they dislike. Okay. I totally lost that. Why I am speaking this, I forgot. Someone. Huh? So the holy name. Yeah. So the holy name or the practice of or the Supreme Lord, what he does is he responds according to our value system. Even though we may like some sinful enjoyment, let's say. But Krishna sees that this person likes it, but he wants it removed. So Krishna removes it. But someone may be chanting the holy name with a desire for mukti. So according to his faith, for him mukti is his prayojan. And anything less than mukti, bhukti and everything, siddhi, that may be anartha for him. So if a person with that kind of faith, when he chants the holy name, holy name will not remove that desire for mukti also and give him prema. It will remove all those things which he is identifying as anartha and give him mukti. Because abhinnatvan nama namino, the holy name is non-different from Krishna. So Krishna in the form of holy name also does not interfere with our free will. So the only medium through which our free will can be changed is devotees. Only devotees can interfere and slowly transform our free will. So when we come in touch with devotees only, does our desires change? Do we receive a new value system which is based on bhakti? So suddenly we start thinking alike now. No one is telling what is good. No one is telling that potato is good, bindi is good, jackfruit is good. None of us shared anything like that. Interesting. And Karela is bad. None of us shared anything like that. How is it that all of us are sharing, you know, something which is, because it's based on the common value system that we have received from the devotees. Anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. Whatever is favorable to bhakti is good. Whatever is unfavorable to bhakti is bad. Even though I may be attached to it. Generally, whatever you have identified as being bad, if you deeply think about it, you may have a tendency to commit it. Do it. Whoever
whoever has probably shared Vaishnava Prat, probably, at least to some extent, has that tendency to commit Vaishnava Prat. Whoever has shared some, yesterday we asked this same question in our Bhakti Aloka discussion. Someone said smartphone, someone said WhatsApp, someone said internet, someone said, you know, what is bad when they were sharing. And of course, what is good, you know, satsang, someone said prajalpa, what is bad, you said frivolity. So generally, people when they see it, this is bad means probably they have a tendency and they want it removed. So based on our past impressions, we have an inclination to it, but because we have received a different value system, even though that inclination is there, but we are seeing it as an unfavorable inclination. So as soon as one gets a value system, immediately one does this thing. He creates a prayojan bin and he creates an anartha bin. So he starts making this separation. So this is my prayojan, this is my anartha. So depending on one's shraddha, whatever may one be identifying as prayojan, the holy name or practice of bhakti fulfills that prayojan. And whatever one may be identifying as anartha, the holy name or practice of bhakti removes that anartha. The basic principle is Krishna, either in the form of holy name or in his deity form, does not interfere with the free will or the value system of the devotee or of the practitioner. The only medium through which he changes that value system is through the medium of devotees. And that too, Krishna does not personally say, my dear devotee, go to this person and give him the seed of bhakti. No. Then that is indirectly Krishna interfering with the free will. The Madhuri Kadambini very clearly explains that the decision of whom to approach for giving bhakti, it 100% Krishna gives that free will, that decision making power only to devotee. Krishna does not interfere at all. A devotee, according to his own convenience or whatever, he may choose to distribute it to anyone, and whomever he chooses, Krishna allows his mercy to flow. But Krishna does not interfere with the free will of the living entity. This is a very important thing that we need to understand. So any comments, discussion here? Yeah. Can you pass the mic?
Guruji, we heard also that in bhakti that first we have some desire.
Yeah.
So when one takes to bhakti, even we have some desire first, Krishna purifies it and then fulfills that desire. Means purifies the heart and then fulfills the desire. Then it's like case of Dhruva Maharaj.
So Dhruva Maharaj's case is very different. So Dhruva Maharaj's case, so all this explanation, you have to just put it aside when it comes to Kripa Siddhi. None of these explanations are valid. We are talking about sadhakas. So Dhruva Maharaj's case cannot be used to explain a Lord's reciprocation with a sadhaka. That's not possible.
So is this like, it's there like when somebody has desire, so Lord first cleanses the heart and then fulfills the desire, because we say, na, because many of the people don't approach to Krishna because they are fearful.
See, Krishna, the way he functions is that, see, if you see the scriptures, it's very clearly, even though you know, different destinations are mentioned for different kind of practitioners. We see that and all of them worship Krishna.
So those who worship Krishna with pure devotional motives, they get prema. Those who worship Krishna through Jnana Mishra Bhakti, they achieve Vaikuntha with Shantarati. Those who worship Krishna through Karma Mishra Bhakti, they get Sukha Aishwaryottara Mukti in Vaikuntha. Those who worship Krishna by the process of Jnana Yoga, they get Brahma Jyoti. Those who worship Krishna through Ashtanga Yoga, also they get Brahma Jyoti, or depending on whatever is their desire. So, if Krishna invariably purifies everyone's heart, then everyone should get the destination of prema only. Why does the scripture talk about these various destinations for various practitioners? Even though everyone is worshipping Krishna, either as the predominant either as a prominent process or as a secondary process or as the only process. Only process, pure devotee. Predominant process, all this, Pradhani Bhuta Bhaktas. And as a secondary process, the Guni Bhuta Bhaktas. All of them are worshipping Krishna. Why they are getting different destinations? So Krishna purifies means he purifies those desires which we identify as anarthas. And he fulfills those desires which we identify as prayojan. Otherwise, if he purifies even those desires which we are identifying as prayojan, then it is interference with the free will. That Krishna never does. Except for rare cases of Kripa Siddhi. Those are very rare cases. But otherwise, in general, Krishna never does it. Harshad Prabhu, can you pass that?
Really, some desires may be there which you may clearly understand that they are anarthas.
Yeah.
As a progress in devotional service, we may have an intention that I want to serve Krishna in a particular way.
Yeah.
This is one thing. This one prayojan we may have.
Yeah.
Another prayojan may be ki I want to get my life molded according to the desires of my superiors.
Correct.
So when the question comes to choose between the two, what I want may be sometimes it is also kind of dual service because I want to serve Krishna in this particular way. Mm. But what is better between the two, and how should we proceed in that case?
See, having a desire to please Krishna in a particular way is not a non-devotional or a mixed devotional desire. But it may not be the most perfect manifestation of pure devotional service in the conditioned state. In the liberated state, in the perfected sadhya level, every single devotee has a particular way in which he wants to serve Krishna. A Vatsalya Bhakta wants to act only in the Vatsalya Rasa, in no other way. So, in the perfected stage that is there, in the conditional stage also, in the sadhaka level, if one has a desire to please Krishna in a particular way, it's definitely not a non-devotional desire, and it is definitely not a mixed devotional desire. It's a pure devotional desire only, but it may not be the perfect manifestation. These are not mutually exclusive also. Like for example, not the 24 hours of your day is not accounted for. Both can be accomplished. You can fulfill the desire. You may perfectly mold your life according to your superiors in performing those services that he has asked you to perform. But in your free time, you could also serve Krishna in the way that you like. So these are not mutually exclusive things.
we might want to look at them as being mutually exclusive, but in practicality, there is ample scope for fulfilling both. So therefore, there is definitely scope for serving Krishna according to one's own desire. One should actually do it. That will give him lot of satisfaction also in doing that. And ultimately, Rupa Goswami says that one naturally gets attracted to particular limbs of devotional service. On what basis? Association is one. But it could even be based on our previous vasanas. He says, Sva vasana anusarena. Rupa Goswami says, how is it that you will see that someone who is very musically inclined, there is a good chance that he may get attracted to kirtanam. It's not wrong. Just because it is born out of his previous musical inclinations, it's not that he should give it up. No, no. I should try for some other limb other than kirtan because it is born out of my previous conditioning. No, that is wrong. Rupa Goswami says one naturally chooses some limbs based on sva vasana anusarena. So it is quite natural that someone with a previous particular inclination may choose a particular limb. It is not so mystical like what we might want to think. Rupa Goswami, you know, demystifies this whole thing. He says choice of a particular limb is based on your previous impressions, that's all. That's okay. Huh? And as long as it is a bona fide devotional limb, we can always practice it in our free time, which is generally ample. So, especially in ashram setup, you know, generally we have ample free time. If we just learn to manage our services nicely, efficient, and we get ample free time to do all these things. So, generally these are not, you know, mutually exclusive things. You have ample opportunity for doing both. Do you want to comment? Balde Prabhu, Premarinam Prabhu. Okay. So, okay. So then he says, but how does one overcome this dreamlike state? Yarhi vava mahimni sve parasmin kala mayayoho rameta gata sammoha tyakto daste tado bayam. So he says that yarhi vava rameta, but when the jiva becomes attached sve mahimni to the great Lord, who is parasmin kala mayayoho, who is different from time and maya, then the living entity also becomes like that. He also becomes parasmin kala mayayoho. He also becomes beyond the influence of time and maya. Uttyatva tada ubayam. He also gives up both. Both refers to what? Time and maya. The Lord is beyond parasmin kala maya yoho. When the jiva surrenders to the Supreme Lord, then tyatva ubayam. He also gives up both. Meaning, he also gives up being under the influence of time and maya. Udaste, and he remains detached. So, what is that? Isha Sangat Viliyate. What is that verse? I think it's sixth canto. Isha Sangat Viliyate. What is that verse? Anyone can find out? Isha Sangat Viliyate. Read that verse. Esha Prakriti Sangena Purushasya Viparyayaha Asit Sayeva Nachirad Isha Sangat Viliyate. Sixth canto, first chapter.
55th verse, yeah. Esha prakriti sangena, by the association of maya, purushasya viparyayah, the unfortunate situation of the living entity, asid. Asid sayeva nachirat isha sangat viliyate. But when he gets attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, very soon that being controlled by maya, he overcomes that situation. That is the standard solution given throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. That is why these three verses, Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyat Pranihitayamale Apashyat Purusham Purnam Mayam Chatadapashrayam Yaya Sammohito Jivo Atmanam Trigunatmakam Paropi Manute Anartam Tatkritam Chapi Padyate Anarto Pashamam Sakshat Bhakti Yoga Majokshaje Lokasya Ajanato Vidvams Chakre Satata Samhitam. So these three verses are also called seed verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Bhagavatam, whatever episode it presents, it is based on this seed only. How the living entity gets conditioned due to material energy, the means to overcome this conditioning is bhakti. Throughout. Whether it is Ajamil's episode, this very same point is being mentioned there. Esha prakriti sangena purushasya viparyayah asit. Sa eva nachirat isha sangat viliyate. What is the, how do you state this verse in other words? Anartho pashamam sakshat bhakti yogam ajokshade. Lokasya ajanato vidvams chakre satata sammita. So, throughout Bhagavatam is based on these three verses. These three seed verses. How the living entity suffers due to association with matter, and how to overcome this kind of association by taking shelter of devotional service. Okay. So, that's what here it is mentioned in this verse. Okay. So, yeah. Before you ask the question, Prabhuji, so 12:15 we stop or do we have little more time? Based on whenever you want to leave, we will stop. No. If you are leaving at 12:15, we'll end at 12:15. So Muktakesh Prabhu, one question, and then we will end there. Tomorrow also you can ask, no problem. So tomorrow 9:30 only we'll start. 9:30. So tomorrow it's in Goshala. So tomorrow we'll start in Goshala. Shri Prabhupada ki. Shrimad Bhagavatam.